This morning I want to talk on the subject, which I'll call the righteous judge, which, refers to 2 Timothy chapter 4. But the lesson is an Old Testament lesson. And what I want to bring out is how Jehovah of the Old Testament, who is Christ of the New Testament, the same person, how he judged so righteously in these lessons, in these examples I'm going to give here, which has to do with the first 92 years of the split kingdom, when, God told Solomon, I'm going to rend the kingdom from you. Okay, let's just go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and I'll reiterate some of that. Thank you, our great God and Father, for the lesson we just had, and we pray that this morning you might open up your word, that we might get to know you a little bit better. And we pray for each one here. Thank you for each one. Bless them. In your great name we pray. Amen. So, that's actually an incomplete statement. When you say the Bible is a storybook or a bunch of stories, because in the volume of the book, the psalmist said, that's in Psalms 40 verse 7, it is written of me. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, Christ, Jehovah. So, again, the Bible is if you want to call it a story, just remember that our goal is to find Christ in these stories, if you want to call it that. So, with that, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 1 it says, Paul talking to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. His appearing is the epiphania, or, from where we get the word epiphany in it. And it has to do with the bright shining, a bright shining. And so he's telling Timothy that, but let's go down and I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his epiphany, this appearing, this brightness that's going to take place. And so here we see the term the righteous judge. And only God can judge righteously. Sometimes it's a matter of, sometimes we think, well, this is someone for who Paul's talking about from such turn away, And also the idea of going to the person yourself, not dragging the whole group into it. That has to do, when it comes to judgment, God has a perfect plan for that too. We do it in love, and especially if it's a fellow member, we keep that in mind too. When it's someone outside the church, God does the judging there. That simplifies things. But one time, one of the first conferences I ever went to was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I was on cloud 9, and I'm coming home on the airplane, and there's a gentleman who was at the conference, and he sat next to me, as a matter of fact. So I thought, oh, this is great. We'll just continue the conference all the way home. Well, that lasted for about 30 minutes, maybe, until he started telling me about how carnal all of the people were in the group, which I didn't know anyway, the people in Arkansas. But I went from, the expression of taking the wind out of your sails. I went into the doldrums from a good breeze to the doldrums where there's no wind at all. And I don't know if I've ever had a bigger anticlimax in my life. And it reminds me of that verse in Ephesians. I'll read that. It's Ephesians 5, 9 through 12. And it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So this is how I felt about that. I felt like, you know, we should go to that person ourselves, I say that as introduction. So now I'm going to go into the first 92 years of the split kingdom. And just an overall view here, Rehoboam and Jeroboam were the first. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Jeroboam was the first king of the north. His seed line, Jeroboam's, ended every single man of his seed line. Next, we had Nadab, who was the son of Jeroboam. He that's what entered it. Then we have Baasha. His line was exterminated. His family, his children was exterminated. You might call it a disinfectant. It had to be done because God did it. He's the righteous judge. Then we had Omri, the house of Omri. Some refer to as the Omride dynasty, which Ahab, Jezebel, and so forth came from. And their line was also exterminated. And that ended the 92 years of the northern kingdom. So first let's turn to 1 Kings 11, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 13. Just to give us a little bit of a background of how it actually took place. And it says, "But King Solomon," this is how it first came about, and because this is important to understand, because it has to do with the seed line of David and those who walked in the ways of David, who was a man after God's own heart. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old," and by old, he was prematurely old. He died at either 56 or 57, which which I'm not sure how we can, what aged him, you know. Maybe all of the concerns and stress, you know, from all of the wives. But he turned, you know, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And in a minute I'm going to say something about David before we get into the split kingdom. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abominations of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. So here all of the people who were to come to Jerusalem and learn of the true God, the only God. Here, as you come into town, Solomon set up all of these idols for all of the world to see. And it wasn't for till 300 years later, till the great King Josiah came along, that these were exterminated, these were torn down and minced into pieces. Verse 7, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And God was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And they commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant, who happened to be Jeroboam, who had already come to odds with Solomon, and he had been sent down to Egypt. But he came back after Solomon died. Verse 12, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake. For I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away the kingdom, but will give one tribe, that is actually Judah and Benjamin both as their sisters. You know, they both shared Jerusalem, those two. But, okay, to thy son, for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So, let me say something about David here. First we have in 1 Samuel 13:13-14, says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord hath commanded thee. Also I want to say of David, in Ezekiel 37:24-25, this is a future event, when the 1,000-year reign of the kingdom comes, and which was mentioned in this morning's lesson, you know, the kingdom. You know, the kingdom epistles, all of those seven epistles we're going through there have to do with a future event. And it says in
Ezekiel 37:24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. There shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. They shall, I should have said, they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and to do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children's forever are unto the age, till that age ends. So, I wanted to bring that up because we're going to see this phrase about that. You didn't walk in the ways of David, that to these other kings. And, okay, so, okay, there's another verse. I've missed that one. So, all right, now let's go to 1 Kings 14, and I'm going to read 7 to 11. I've got a tab here, but I've got so many tabs all together here. But in a second, we'll get flowing. Okay, so 2 and 1 Kings 14, did I say 2? 1 Kings 14, 7 to 10. It says, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, that is the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil on the house of Jeroboam. Now this is the righteous judge. And will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall. Now that word actually does appear in the original, but, you know, for him, in 1611, when this was written, that was, not considered, the way it is today. But the word means every last single male. And the notice is every male. So, the house of Jeroboam will cut off from Jeroboam every male and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. He that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Okay, so there's one. There's one of the three. And we'll see here, and we'll turn the page here to chapter 15, verses 25 to 31, where it says, and this is Jeroboam's son, and Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked not in the way of his father, and in his sins wherewith he made Israel to sin. So that's a leader has to lead. He has to bring up his people in the right way. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, where Nadab and all the Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he reigned, that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, until he had destroyed him according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to jealousy. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? So that ended Jeroboam's line. Next we have Baasha, 1 Kings 16, 1-7. We'll turn the page, and then I'm first going to read 1-4. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu the son of Hanani, because against Baasha, saying, now this is Jehu, not the king, this is Jehu the prophet. Forasmuch I exalted thee out of the dust, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha, and the posterity of his house, and will make the house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You know, you'd think by this point they would get the message. You know, here's the second line that's going to be destroyed. Verse 4, him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. And, let's see. Okay, that's good for that. Okay, there. So we see that one in the line of Baasha. Verses 12 and 13. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha. This is his son Elah, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Okay, so that's the second one. The third one is, we're going to see in 1 Kings 16, 23 through 26. That's the house of Omri, O-M-R-I. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer of 2 talents of silver. So this was the beginning of the capital city of the northern 10 tribes. Omri founded it. Samaria became the capital at this point. Later it was destroyed. 260 years into the split kingdom, Samaria was destroyed. And built on a hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill of Samaria. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Okay, so then we come down. Let's see. Okay, all right. So we're not going to get to where Ahab and Jezebel and were destroyed yet, because I want, now we want to go to Jehoshaphat. However, before we do that, if you have a companion Bible, turn, if you will, to Appendix 55, which is on page 78 of the appendices. And it is called the Dynasty of Omri. And it is an appendix that is well worth study. So you see here, Jezebel, Ahab, you also see, the end of the first 92 years. You'll see two names here, Joram and Ahaziah. Both of those kings died on the very same day. That ended the 92 years. But you also see Athaliah. She is the center of this whole thing. And she is the daughter of Jezebel. And the north and the south both worshipped. It was a Jezebel cult that they worshipped. So Athaliah, though, was the daughter, and she also, after the 92 years, she was the first king of Judah. Queen Athaliah usurped power over the seed line of David and tried to destroy it. But you also see Jehoshaphat here, and he had a son named Jehoram, and Jehoshaphat allowed his son to marry in to this line, which was not to be. So Jehoshaphat was a good king, but he was seduced, and the Lord did not destroy his line, obviously. But I just want to read something here. A little bit of the first column on Appendix 55. Athaliah was thus the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel, and daughter of Jezebel. The marriage between Jehoram and Athaliah was part of Satan's design to introduce idolatry into Judah, so that Athaliah might do for Judah what her mother Jezebel had done for Israel, and thus secure the same result. Jehoshaphat began by strengthening himself against Israel, but married his son to the daughter, an idolatress of Ahab, the worst of Israel's kings. The leaven worked morally and politically, and was then used by Satan for the destruction of the line which the seed of the woman, you know, the line of Christ, was to come into the world. So this was, this marriage that was allowed, by, you know, Jehoshaphat, we see, you know, we learned a lot from that seed line right there. So let's, now I want to go to Second Chronicles. I want to, for the southern tribes, I want to use Second Chronicles, rather than the Kings. And in 17, I'm going to read verses 1-6. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his head, that is Asa. Asa was his father, and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves of Judah. And if you keep reading that chapter, you'll see other reasons why he was such a great king. Number one, he set up teachers in verse 9 and 10, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. These were Levites, priests, which he set up for the people so that they could learn, so that they could learn of their Jehovah, who was the God's, that's the name of God for the covenant relationship they had, Jehovah. And went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that they were round, that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So here everything's going real smooth. But now we'll go to chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead, which had been taken by Syria. And he wanted to take it back. Ahab wanted it back. So he's asking Jehoshaphat, will you come up here and war with me to take it back from Syria? But if you look at this word persuaded, there's a note here, seduced. Jehoshaphat was seduced. So, you know, at first we ask ourselves, how come God allowed, you know, he allows this with one person and allows that? It seems like, no, his rulings are perfect. And it also says to incite, hence to deceive. So Jehoshaphat was, you might say he was unequally yoked with non-believers. And if I judged him for that, then, I can tell you, I'm not the model example of those who didn't pay heed to that warning by Paul. And I learned the hard way why you don't do this. And Ahab, king of Israel, verse 3, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. It could be that he thought he could convert him, bring him around to the truth. But in this case, the righteous judge, didn't want this to happen this way. And we'll see this in the next chapter, chapter 19. I'll read verses 1 through 4, because in the rest of chapter 18, Ahab died in the battle. Jehoshaphat was spared. His life was spared. Then we get to chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. But verse 3, nevertheless there are good things found in thee. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for seeing the good, and as Ron said, seeing the good, that is, that what God did through me, it's not about me, None of these things are about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Verse 4, And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So I'm going to, just going to explain a couple of these. Now, Jehu, the king, the first king after the 92 years, he was the first king. He was the 10th king. There were 9 kings before him, and there were 9 kings after him. 4 of the kings after him were his sons and grandsons. Then there were 5 that's only mentioned in the Kings, not in Chronicles. Those last 5 kings were kings during the time that the northern 10 tribes were Lo Ammi. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a minute. But let's go to 2 Kings chapter 10. And now we're going back to Kings for the northern tribes. And there's a reason for that, but that's a different study. Okay, chapter 10, verses 28 to 31. It says, Then Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel, howbeit from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan, which means all of the north, you know, all of Israel, all of that portion. And the Lord said unto Jehu, Because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, the children of the 4th generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. After the 4th generation, that's when the Lo Ammi period started, as we'll see in a minute. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord his God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. So all these, God has a reason for all of these in his plans and purposes. And that's what we study. We try to see Christ in these. How does this verse or this passage speak of Christ? You know? So that ended the 92 years. Then in 1 Kings, now I'm going to go back to, 1 Kings 21:1. It says, And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. Now, I want to go back a little bit because this is going to lead up to Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So this, Naboth, remember Naboth and remember Jezreel. There's a valley of Jezreel up in the north, and it's a lot of history on that city in the Bible. But then we come down to verse 21. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee. He's talking to Ahab. This is Elijah talking to Ahab. and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him, you know, every last male against, you know, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall. By the wall of Jezreel. And it came to pass, this is verse, now I'm going to read 27 through 29. And it came to pass, so if you think God was unfair to the northern 10 tribes, let's read this passage here. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? After all of that, this is the Lord talking. Seest how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon the house. Okay, so, as you know, you can't really understand the prophets without knowing the kings. And we'll see one example of that in Hosea chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. And the word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Josam, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joah. This is Jeroboam the second. This is not the same Jeroboam that was the first king of the north. This is Jeroboam the second. But basically, verse 1 dates, it tells you, if you look in the appendices, you know, where the times that Hosea covered. Verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. This is what he thought of the north. For the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. As we just read, back in where Ahab wanted that valley, wanted that land, you know, in Jezreel. It was right next to Samaria. He wanted that land, and yeah, I guess he got it. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. Well, wait a minute. We just read that Jehu was rewarded for wiping out this line. But I'm going to read a note here in a minute. I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel and the valley of Jezreel. So after Jehu's 4 generations, that's when the low MI period started for the north. So, and we see that in verse 5. So, basically that's the Old Testament portion of it that I wanted to cover to show that, you know, it's kind of a fine line sometimes to know how to judge. But when it comes to, our fellow saints, I want to err on the side of, caution. I want to love them, you know, in favor of the unity of the faith, the unity of the spirit. That's what we have to deal with. So in closing, let's turn to 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2:24-26. And Paul says to Timothy, and the servant of the Lord, this includes women, men, must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient. You know, at one point Paul said, let not the novice teach. That's the word neophyte. A neophyte has not so much to do with age, but as a new, how much maturity he has in the word. How long has he been saved? Has he seen the mystery? You know, the neophyte has hardly nothing to do with age, has more to do with spiritual maturity. Unto all men apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness. If God peradventure will give them to repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So I guess, to me, the question is, how do we know, you know, how do we know when to judge, when to rebuke, reprove? All I can say is, what does it do to the word when we pray about it in our hearts? What does it do to the word? If we go to that person by ourselves and talk to them, no one else ever hears about it. So that's one way to help the confusion. But the more we study the Word, the more we get to know Him better, because He is the Word. So if we say we know a lot about the Bible, we're saying we know a lot about the Lord. And so, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, and, you know, maybe I know a little bit more than some people, you know, outside of our group, but I used to know everything when I was 17. You know, you could ask me anything, boy. Now, I'm exaggerating some, but that's also the sentiment that Oscar made. But speaking the truth in love, that's what keeps us together. So thank you all for listening, and I'll, as my dad would say, the first preacher who I was ever set under, let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time you've given us to sit around your word, to glean of you, and how you are the center, the circumference, the very essence of the word. Thank you for each one here. Put your hand on each one. Keep us mindful of these thoughts, Lord, and just bless everyone. In your great name we pray. Amen.